All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, August 5th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had some League of Legends action earlier this morning. And then later this evening, we have a 5-game WNBA slate as well as a 10-game MLB slate. So should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. Happy to be back after a long break. I was out of town here, but I am excited to be back in the swing of things. So with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up. Had a number of questions come in while I was out here, so plenty to get to today. Going to go a little bit out of order. There were a couple questions here that are a little bit more kind of quick hitter type. And then a couple of questions earlier were a little bit more in depth. So we're going to knock out some of these quick ones. First one was, will there be an NFL update new video? Thank you. Yes, absolutely. We will have tons of content coming out around NFL, around NFL with groups, all the updates to SaberSim, Diversifier, Portfolio Mode, all of those type of things. So you can definitely expect a content push. I would say late August, early September is most likely when you're going to see those videos. So keep your eye out. We will definitely make sure everybody is aware through email announcements and Discord, in-app notifications with banners and stuff like that. So keep your eye out for all those things. But yes, we will for sure be doing a content update. Okay, that was the first quick one. This second quick one goes with this build that I just kicked off here. So second question we're going to hit today, no matter how many lineups I create in my lineups, it shows just 20. Why is that? I'm not sure if it is a glitch or something I need to change. Okay, so when you run your build, right, this pool section, this is how many lineups you're building overall. The person who asked this question posted a screenshot and they had this number at 5,000. So they're on ultimate, right? This shows how many lineups you're building. The my lineups group, which is like the default group, always defaults to 20. Okay. You can see it in the lineups. This number is editable. You just need to simply just hover over it and click on it. And then you can change this to whatever number you want. Okay. One thing I do, which makes this a little bit easier to understand for me at least, I use the pin option and I pin my pool, which puts it on top. So like when this just goes and I'm looking at a group and it's expanded, you know, I don't see the pool, right? So I'm like, okay, maybe I only have 150 or I only have 20. Like, where are the rest of my lineups, right? I like to keep the pool up at the top with his thumbtack pin icon. That way I can always see, hey, you know, there are 540 lineups here. I am just looking at a subset, and then this number, you know, you can change it as many times as you need. Now, this isn't exactly how we recommend using the app in its new form. What we generally recommend, because here, right, you're going to get a group, but then it has no contest attached, right? So if you have an entry file, every single time you need to go and put your lineups into this. What we really recommend, these are probably just like examples from past shows, is having a template set up where it says lineup group type contest, create a lineup group for each of my contests, and then rank it by portfolio. When you save that and then you star it, one, what the star will do will activate it for every future slate that you play. If I play baseball tomorrow, the next day, right, I come back, I'm always going to have this template. It's always going to be on. And then every time I upload an entry file, it's going to create a different group for every contest in my entry file. So I will not need to assign the contests to the group. Each group will get assigned a single contest, and then it ranks them by this dollar per entry field. Ranking them by dollar per entry is what our back testing has showed is the best when using the portfolio diversity. So we will auto sort by that, just so you guys know. So I'd recommend using the template, the default one, starring it, uploading your entry file, having one group per contest. That's the best way. But if you like manual groups, you can always just edit this number as needed. All right. Those were our two quick hitters here. We have two questions about FanDuel DFS. I'm going to continue to go out of order here because I think this is a better starting point. So next question. I've been struggling a little recently on FanDuel and trying to figure out if it's my process. After doing some digging, my top 1%, 0.5%, and 0.01% are all above or in line with expectations. With that in mind, and no contest flashback to lean on, would you assume that this is just a bad variance swing? Okay. Good question. So, I actually have a pretty cool sheet that somebody made that I've always held on to because I think it shows this pretty cool. All right. So, this is of how much what the average ROI is based on your top 1% rate, okay? So this is all like hypothetical, kind of theoretical here, right? But if the rake in your contest is 15%, which is like pretty standard, if you're playing high stakes, it's closer to 10%, but I know a lot of people aren't like jamming high stakes. So a lot of the lower stakes stuff, flagship stuff is all around 15%. Could even be more depending on what site you're playing on. I've seen Owner's Box have like 19% and stuff like that. But we're just going to roll with this, right? So in order to turn a profit, right, your top 1% rate needs to be above 1.15, right? 1.15 is breaking even. So here, when you put 1.2% of your lineups into the top 1%, at that point, you start to see a profit, right? And then when you're putting 1.3, your profit goes up. 1.4, 1.5, you can see these hypothetical ROIs increasing along with the top 1% rates, right? That all makes sense. Now, that doesn't mean you're like always going to assume or basically realize this hypothetical ROI right away, which is the part that makes DFS very, very challenging. And somebody once told me they're like, if you think variance is the size of a planet, it's actually the size of the sun, which is, you know, even greater, right? So I don't want to just be like, oh yeah, you know, chalk it up to variance, like, you know, and use that as just kind of like a catch-all. But you should have a sense like, oh, okay, yeah, like maybe I'm putting like 1.25%, you know, in the top 1%, right? Well, where do you kind of fall, right? So this just kind of gives you, I think, like a little bit of expectations about, you know, how much ROI you're basically seeking to realize, and allows you to kind of play with these numbers, right? We can mess around with this. We can like change this to, you know, what if my contest is being ranked, you know, 19%? You know, how does that update the numbers and things like that? So just kind of a cool sheet. I believe it was built by Nelson Adcock, and I recreated it or copied it somehow. But yeah, so that is just some idea, a little glimpse into hypothetical ROIs with rake included there. If you're, you know, outpacing the field, outpacing the rake, then I do think it's variance, unfortunately. Best thing to do, just bankroll management, jam low stakes, get a lot of lineups down, and that will help you to realize that equity sooner. All right. That leads us into our next question, which is, what is the best process for building profitable lineups using the new SaberSim update on FanDuel? Having trouble with this new update, thanks. Okay, so first place I would start, right, is we already kind of touched on this, but I think this is a great place to start, is with the templates, right? Make sure that you have a different group for each contest. And the reason for that, actually, let me see what plan this user's on. And while I'm looking in Discord, let me just pop in another question that came in. Okay, yeah. So where I would start for sure is the templates, one per contest. That's going to be the best thing here. Now, from there, a lot of the other pieces of your lineup building process are going to be similar to how you used to do it on before the update. Now, I think one thing that might go overlooked here is baseball does get harder in the second half of the season. You know, we're a couple weeks into the second half of the season now. And the reason it gets harder is because kind of some of the excitement around baseball has like died down. Casual money isn't as invested here, or isn't like as, you know, excited for like opening day in the beginning of the season. The players who are paying the rake, who are losing, you know, sometimes they give up, right, and they move on. That only leaves like the grinders, the winners, you know, some, it takes away some amount of the players who you were previously like taking money from, right? So that's why like contests get a little bit smaller. You could see some of the prize pools going down. You can see some of the contests getting top heavier, right? So that actually plays like a really big role, probably more than you, because like more than half the battle in DFS is playing or finding the best contest to play, right? That's why we say try and stay under $3. Try and play where the sharks aren't playing, right? We talk about like alternate sites and things like that. But those are just kind of like some more logistical things that occur and almost have like nothing to do with your process. But when the bad players go away and the overall, what does that do, right? It increases the overall strength of the field by taking some of the worst players out of it, right? That's kind of the way you got to think about it. It's almost like raising the floor of bad players because there's less of them around. But process wise, right? This will take us into like our slate demo for the day. So process wise, I don't think you should be trying to reinvent the wheel in the second half of the season, but it's a good idea to just make sure you're maintaining good, I would call it like mechanics, process mechanics, right? Now where I would start with that is one, you know, you're going to need to always build as many lineups as your plan allows. As far as like rules and stuff and filters, you can kind of mess around with that at your leisure. I really just like to use the don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule. For FanDuel, you don't need to make any adjustments to unlock the build lineups button. Their community guidelines are different than DraftKings. And that's really it, right? You kick off that build, and then you're going to do most of your work on the back end here, right? So let's say I'm playing like the 150 max, you know, 5 cent contest. Okay, great. So I'm in here, right? I'm playing the 5 cent. I have an average projection aggregate metric. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. We got an average projection aggregate metric here, right? We have all of our lineups. I'm going to use expanded. All right. We're sorting by exposures. So what do you got today? We're seeing a ton of Toronto, seeing some Mets. Toronto is in Colorado. I think they scored like 15 runs yesterday. It was like super crazy. So you could always compare this by, I like to go to the team stacks tab. I like to sort by projected runs and just get a sense for what teams we're getting, how we expect them to do projection wise, and how much exposure we're getting to them, right? So it is basically at this point, after running the lineups, after using portfolio, after getting your aggregate metrics set up, that you're mostly just trying to make sure that you, I think there's a difference between agreeing with the builder and making sure you don't disagree with the builder, right? Because agreeing would be like, yes, I like these plays, I think you're right. But not disagreeing is kind of a little different, where it's like, okay, I think this is fine, I'm okay playing these plays. Where the first one is, you're like, yeah, I think that team is going to be the best. Where the other version is like, okay, I'm fine with playing this much of that team. I'm kind of indifferent, or I'm not against it. You know, I'm mostly trying to look for errors, and I'm trying to, or I guess a better way of putting it is, the second version, I'm trying to avoid mistakes, and the first version, I'm trying to be right. Now, it is very hard to be right and always be right, but I think it's a little bit easier to avoid mistakes. And when you avoid mistakes, you know, similar to like how taking bad players out of the contest raises the floor of bad players, makes your average bad player better, avoiding mistakes inherently leads to you finding the right plays without actively seeking them out. And I this is like something I noticed studying like winning players in NFL like last year, where they weren't taking these like super ultra aggressive stands, like jamming teams and players and trying to be right. They were like spread out, but they were taking some stands. Seemed like they were always avoiding like kind of like the bad chalk and kind of set out to like try and kind of figure out like how they do that, right? So for instance, right, something that I noticed kind of right away, just like doing a quick glance here. So when I sort by projected runs, I noticed that we had kind of have like a lot of Cleveland here. As far as like these lower projected run teams go, they're a little bit higher than the rest, right? This catches my eye in the sense that I don't know if this is wrong, but this might just be something that I want to pay a little extra attention to and make sure that I'm okay with this, right? And I realize we can see Cleveland. Cleveland, 4.2 run total. We have like 13%. They are the only team kind of in this like bottom 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, out of like the bottom 10 projected run teams, they are the only one above 10%. So that stands out to me, right? I'm trying to make sure, hey, do we have too much exposure to this team that doesn't have a very high run total? And then we go and like we look at Cleveland, right? Like I would spend extra time looking at them, and I would go to their batters and I would sort by order. And I would say, okay, you know, why are we seeing so much of them? And okay, I think part of it was we got that pop up that was saying like we should rebuild lineups, like lineups have come out. I think that's part of the problem here, right? We're getting like Carlos Santana, and he's like not in the lineup. So probably the sim ran with our pre-slate projection, and things got like wonky here, right? So like the right thing to do would be to rebuild. And then I bet if we rebuild here, we probably get less of them. But I ignored that error message because I was like, I'm probably not going to make that big of a deal here. But then when we go and we're actually analyzing, it's like, oh, okay, this actually is impacting us, right? There is a reason that looked weird. And, you know, that is probably an extreme example of avoiding a mistake in your, like, lineup selection process. But a good example, like, nonetheless, right? And then we go, we did our QA process, and then it led us to, you know, rebuild lineups here, right? Now, this is kind of a good piggyback question, just kind of staying on around this topic. Should I change the portfolio to uniques, or will that not give me good lineups? So portfolio is our recommended option now. That doesn't mean you can't use uniques. If you like uniques and you prefer it, then that's okay, right? It is okay to stick with that. Now, a reason to use uniques that would be like stronger would be if you are setting a lot of minimax exposures and you are having trouble meeting all of your exposures using portfolio mode. Portfolio mode is not as good at meeting exposures as uniques is. Uniques like prioritizes your minimax exposures over everything, where portfolio is trying to get that diversity first and then kind of work in your exposures. So it is not as good at getting to all your requests. You could put in some minimax exposures, sure, but you're not going to be able to put in, you know, 20, 30 minimax exposures like for every player, right? So that would be a reason for using uniques over portfolio. But aside from that, I don't see a lot of reasons to change it unless you want to. I really like the way my lineups look and my leverages look when using portfolio. I basically skip the step of having to change the uniques from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to like settling on a number that I like, because portfolio kind of does that for me automatically. So again, it's totally preference. You got to figure out what you want to do there. But those are just my thoughts. Now we rebuilt the lineups, right? Okay. I'm going to go back to team stacks now. I'm going to sort by projected runs again, and then I'm going to scroll down here, right? Okay, so this is interesting. So now we're taking shots on like a couple of teams, but this one, I don't know. It doesn't seem so bad because the bottom four projected run teams, all under 4 runs, we have no more than like 3%. And then there's a group of teams between like 4.2 to 4.5. five-ish that are double digits. So it's like 12%, 15%, 13%. This 26 feels like a lot. I would probably double back on this one, right? Because it's like, okay, we're getting some teams in this projected run range. We're getting, you know, some amount of exposure here. We're getting 12, 15, 9. We're getting 6, 13, 6, 6. But then we have this one team standing out at 26. Like now my attention kind of shifts from Cleveland to Tampa Bay. It's like, okay, why are we seeing so much Tampa Bay? Why is Tampa Bay the second highest exposed team for us on the slate, right? And it's like, hey, we have more Tampa Bay 4 stacks than we do Toronto 4 stacks. So then what I would do is like a similar process. I'm like, okay, let's go and let's look at Tampa Bay and see, you know, why we like them so much. Okay, Simpson, low. So first thing for me, right, is like, okay, the exposures are like pretty spread out. And although we have 26% in Tampa Bay, we don't have any player above 20%, right? We have 19%, 18%, 12, 11. The one in the two hitters are the highest exposed. So like that feels kind of good, right? Most at bats, they're on the road. Highest exposure leverage wise is 11% leverage, you know, 10% leverage. What if their ownership comes in a little higher? You know, what if Simpson comes in 12% and Lowe comes in 10%? Well, now they have single digit leverage. So yeah, we're taking some shots, but it's not that bad. My guess here is that they're a little bit of a good, like, salary relief play. Because they're not that expensive. They're like 31, 29, 31. You know, their highest salary player is 3,400, Caminero. Now what I'm doing is, like, I'm looking at some of the characteristics of the lineups that they're in, right? So, like, okay, we have a Rays 4-stack, Blue Jays 2-stack. Notice that the Blue Jays 9-hitter is almost as expensive as the highest salary Rays hitter. And this lineup is 34,900 with Crochet at pitcher. We see another 4-2 here. Oh no, this is a 4-3. I'm mostly just like spot checking these. Just like, hey, you know, am I actually okay with all of these, you know, stacks of the race, right? I want to see what the lineup constructions kind of look like. Like, how are these lineups playing out? This one's kind of interesting. It's like a 1-2-3-4 stack. But then we have, well, like a 2-3-9, an 8-hitter one-off. I don't know how I feel about this. You know, maybe I like this lineup, but I'm like, you know what? This like 8-hitter for the Guardians and like the extra salary. Like, what are my like options here? You know, can I do something about this? And then this is like a new update in case you guys haven't seen it. You can change the players like in line. So like, okay, I want to remove Kafis and I want to see like what my options are. Okay. And then I will go to outfield where I'm at. And then I will unfilter for Tampa Bay. And then I would probably just like sort by salary. And it's like, okay, I have 2,900 available. And I want to figure out who I can put in, right? And then now there's this new column with the plus marks or plus icons to add the player to the lineup kind of right here. So it's like a 4-3. I could basically pick any one off I want. You know, maybe I do something where I'm like, okay, you know, maybe I want like a, I want to see if I can get like somebody who has like good home run upside. Okay, so I'm going to go and I'm going to sort by home runs. And I'm going to see if any of these players or where like the highest one is home run wise for like the salary I have available, right? So I'm sorted by home runs. Okay, I come down. So the first one is Michael Conforto, 7-hitter for the Dodgers. You know, maybe I don't like him, right? Maybe I'm like, they're at home. He's a 7-hitter. Maybe he gets pinch hit for. Maybe he only gets a couple at bats. You know, I want to keep searching, right? Okay, so I scroll down. Basically until I find somebody that I'm happy with, right? And maybe that ends up, you know, making me turn a 4-3 stack into a 4-4 stack, right? Maybe I add Adolis Garcia to this three stack, and then now I'm playing a 4-4. I've maxed out my salary, and I've gotten a more of a power hitter, and I've maintained my correlation, right? Like, hey, like, I like this. This makes sense. I save it, and then I keep going, right? It is okay to change things, right? So here I've updated this lineup, and, you know, maybe now I'm more willing to play this race stack. Or maybe I didn't like it, right? Okay, then I just trashed this one, and then I let the builder figure out what, like, the next best lineup to play is. You know, there's a bunch of different ways you can go about this, but all we're doing is making sure that we're comfortable and we agree with the decisions that the portfolio diversity is making. And here in this example, I've basically come to the conclusion that although it is 26% Tampa Bay, I don't think we have too much leverage on any one hitter. And I either like understand or like agree with why they're being used based kind of like on their salary and like lineup construction and things like that. So I'm more willing to play them here, right? So you could look at this same information and come to a different conclusion, be like, no way, this is like way too much Tampa Bay. You know, I want to lower them. That is okay too, right? The important thing is that you looked at it and you made a conscious decision about, do I want to go left or do I want to go right? Rather than like not look at it, and then it isn't until the slate is in progress and the players are locked, they're like, oh my gosh, why did I have so much Tampa Bay? Like, we don't want that for you ever, right? You should kind of understand what your lineup portfolio looks like, who you're kind of rooting for, what you need before the slate starts, rather than, you know, when it's too late, right? So those are the big things that I would suggest you do. You know, this goes back to building profitable lineups for FanDuel. And, you know, these are the things that I think can help you to avoid mistakes and ultimately build better sets of lineups that you're comfortable with. So those would be my thoughts there. All right. Got a couple more questions rolling in the Discord. Any word on the Birdie Battle Championship contest? Thanks. I am not sure personally here. I was out the last couple of days. Could definitely be some developments on that front. The important thing is, like, you know, we're not going to let it sneak up on you guys. We are definitely going to communicate all of those things in app, email. You know, we will reach out to you guys, make sure you guys have like links to private contests and all of those details. So once they're finalized, our team will definitely make it known, but I can check in on that, see where we're at. All right. Couple more questions. When making a template, it gets saved to use for all available sports. Also, is there a maximum to have, or is it better to have a cap on templates instead? I don't think there's a maximum. I don't know how many different ways you could like chop your contests up or how many different ways you kind of want to. This does work for all sports. That is true. So what you could do is, like, if you want different templates for different sports, don't star them. And then just when they're not starred, you could just like click on it once you're in the sport that you want. Like, oh, maybe I have five and I want to use these two, right? So then you just click on those and then we'll activate them. I think this is a similar one. Anywhere on Minimax prizes, I'm almost positive this is related to the Birdie Battle. If not, maybe this is like the max challenge for this upcoming NFL season. We haven't announced the max challenge for this season, but I am like 95% positive it will be back this year. So I know the excitement is turning up with it being August now. So we will definitely announce the max challenge in coming weeks here. Make sure everyone has plenty of time to get signed up before the season starts. Okay, a couple more questions. Follow up I've made some templates, but noticed that I have to check it showing green as active to work after already doing the contest sims and diversification. Any thoughts on that? Yeah. So if it's not starred, it won't be on automatically. If you click it or like check it, if you select it, then you will get a check mark and then that will turn it on. So if you want it on by default, start it. If you don't want it on by default, just make sure you come in and select it. The check mark will activate it and then you'll know it's on. All right. One more question here. What does avoid duplicate lineups do to the portfolio? And is it a good idea to have it checked at all times? So this is kind of preference. What it does is that when it is filling your groups, it will make sure that every lineup only gets used one time, similar to like unique rank, unique random, some of the older filled methods. I don't use it. I'm generally okay with having a lineup in more than one contest. I kind of take the approach like, hey, if this lineup grades out well more than once, I'm okay playing it more than once. So, I think our general messaging is to have it on, and which is why it's on by default. I think it's okay to turn it off if you are a little bit of a riskier person and like to assume some additional volatility in the name of upside here with like shipping multiple contests at once. So that is that's my thoughts on it, is that I'm totally okay leaving it off, but not everyone feels that way. Sammy said, cool. Thanks for the answers. You're welcome. Jimmy said, did you see my question in Discord? Yes, I followed up there. So flashback and portfolio mode should have like no correlation. So like, say I want to go and review, you know, yesterday's MLB slate, right? Okay. I would go to MLB. Reminder, we only have flashback for DK, right? It's like, okay, I go back to the main slate on DK. Go to the contest tab. And then I go and I click on a contest, right? Okay, Immaculate Inning. Now just give this like a second to load. Go over to users. And then all the flashback, you know, information should all be here, right? If there are certain contests or sport types that are giving you trouble, it is better to, if you feel like something is wrong, right? If there's like a bug or something's not working right, either one, reach out to us via the question mark. Our team is very, very active throughout the day here. And we, you know, says typically reply in under 30 minutes. I say before, you know, 8 p.m. Eastern for sure. Or you could use the report a problem button up here in the menu and let us know like, hey, you know, I'm trying to use flashback and, you know, this contest on this date is giving me trouble, right? That's like the other best way of reaching us. So in my like trials here, trying to use flashback seems to be fine. It could give you trouble on mobile. I've seen mobile be a little bit harder. Computing process power of phones is lower than a computer, you know, so that could be part of it, but I don't know exactly why you're having trouble. So, you know, if you're saying, yeah, it's not working for me, I usually do flashback every night. Best thing to do, reach out to us. I would probably use the reporter problem. I think that's better. So use that. That'll go straight to our support team. We can get a better sense of what's going on, and then we can help you troubleshoot it from there. That'd be my best advice. All right. Looks like we are all caught up with questions here. Appreciate you guys tuning in, and I am happy to be back doing the show. I will see you all tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.